Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to personally thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We would also invite you to watch our TV program that will air following this radio broadcast on Public Access Channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30. Please give it a look. We would also invite you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in God's Word. You will also find our radio broadcasts, our TV programs are there, and there's a variety of Bible subjects that will help you in your study of God's Word. We would also invite you to our worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and you'll be given those times at the end of this broadcast, and we hope that you'll take the opportunity to come and worship and study God's Word with us. You will always be warmly received. We have been spending the last few months in giving you an overview of the Bible, both Old and New Testament. This time we are in the New Testament, and this morning we're going to cover the small book of Philemon. This is the last of prison epistles written by Paul while in his first imprisonment in Rome. This is a very short epistle, 25 verses, written to Philemon, a cordial letter written from one friend to another. Paul's spirit in this letter is one of Christian love. In this epistle, we gain some insight about the custom of the times dealing with the slavery and masters issues of the day. It appears Philemon may have resided in Colossae. His slave named Onesimus is also a Christian, probably in Colossae. You would care to look at Colossians 4, verse 9. Also mentioned is a fellow soldier, Archippus, and he is mentioned in Colossians 4, verse 17. According to the text, the church met in the house of Philemon. From the letter, it seems that Onesimus has run away to Rome. Paul is appealing to Philemon on behalf of this slave. He reminds Philemon of the help this man has been to Paul and receive him back graciously. If any wrong has occurred, charge it to Paul. And he was hoping that he would send him back to Paul in order to continue to aid him. Since this is a short book, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to read the epistle. Sometimes it's a book that doesn't give much attention and people don't really read it. So let's read the epistle and then we'll offer some comments. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in his house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all of his saints, and the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ, I command you what is fitting. Yet for love's sake, I would rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, which I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me on your behalf, he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. What your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you and owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Euphratus, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. as does Mark, Tychicus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So in these 25 verses, there is an admonition that Paul is making to Philemon. Paul and Timothy address Philemon as a friend and a fellow brother. Therefore, we can conclude that he is a member of the Lord's church. We also is addressed to Archippus, who is also considered a fellow soldier by Paul. Paul mentions that he always mentions these in his prayers. He heard of their love for Christ and for all the saints, and this has been demonstrated by the sharing of their faith. And he acknowledges that. And he acknowledgement of good things in Christ, the saints' hearts are refreshed by these men. Paul could be bold and command Philemon, but he chooses rather to make a tender appeal as an aged man and a prisoner for Christ at this time in Rome. Appeal for his son, Onesimus. He's converted while he was in his chains. This would lead us to believe that Paul had converted him while he was in prison. Now this man is profitable both to Paul and to Philemon. Paul is sending him back and wanted him to receive him with an open heart. Paul had desired to keep him, to help minister to him while he was in the chains, but not without Philemon's consent. And he wanted that to be done only by a voluntary action by Philemon. Paul hints that he may have left for that very purpose, according to verse 15. Now more than a slave, also a beloved brother, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And so now the relationship had changed. Yes, he's still a master, he's still a slave, but he has the additional thing now that he's also his brother. And so that should compel him in his treatment of his slave, because he's also a brother. He's now a brother spiritually because he's a Christian. If Paul is considered Philemon's partner, receive this slave as he would Paul. Receive him in the same way that you would receive me. If he had wronged you, if there was any wrong that Onesimus had done to Paul, to Philemon, then put it on Paul's account. Paul writes in his own hand that he will repay anything that is forthcoming that was counted as a cost to Philemon because of the slave running away. He asked that his heart might be refreshed, having great confidence that Philemon would obey even more than what Paul was asking him. He asked Philemon to prepare a guest room for Paul, for Paul had hoped to visit him if and when, as he hoped through prayer, that he would be released out of prison. And we know that he was released out of his first imprisonment in Rome for a short period of time. He also greets the fellow laborers that we read in verse 23 and 24, and he commends them to the grace of God as he always does in most of his letters. He commends the reader and those that he's addressing to the grace of God that can build them up and can strengthen them, as we can read in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, when he directed some instruction to the elders at Ephesus. So in this short book, we see some very striking things. Number one, that Philemon was a very considerate and constant laborer who was very faithful to God. And he shared his faith, according to verse number 5 and 6, towards all the saints. And that brought Paul great joy and consolation. And because he had been refreshed by Philemon in his times past, he had a very close and kindred relationship with him and loved him a great deal. Now we also see in this epistle some instruction concerning the slave and master relationship. If you go back and you would read in Colossians chapter 4 in the first 7 verses, there are some instructions about the slave and master relationship. There has been much debate over the years about the whether a Christian can be in this capacity and to be a slave owner. Well, that's a discussion for another time. But even though it does not appear that he's condemned for being a slave owner, he does have a higher standard or threshold that he must maintain in his relationship and his treatment of his slaves. And again, it looks from the text that Philemon had been a good slave owner. We do not know, and we are not privy to why he left Philemon, we're not told. But in verse number 15, Paul hints that It might have been perhaps for the purpose to be able to help Paul and then to be able to be taught the truth that he might only not only obey it, but then he would also be helpful not only to Paul, but now he would be helpful to Philemon. We also want you to notice the generosity on the part of the Apostle Paul. He says that if this slave had cost him anything, if there's anything that is owed to Philemon, to not charge it to the slave, but charge it to Paul. And he would, and if he had wronged him, if he had cost him any money, if anything had cost him some funds, then Paul would repay that and to just put it on his account. We also see the confidence that Paul had in God and through the prayers that he was offering and others were offering for his release from Rome, because he told Philemon to prepare a room for him in order that he might come and be able to stay with him and be refreshed by him. And so we see Paul's confidence that he was confident that he would be released from his imprisonment in Rome. And in the first imprisonment, he will be released. And some scholars think that he was released for a period of about 2 years. And so whether or not he ever was able to go to Philemon and to personally talk to him and greet him, the scriptures do not tell us. But we know that was something that was on Paul's heart. We want to conclude this morning's study on Philemon in setting up the next book that we're going to study in this series of overviewing the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. And we're going to cover the book of Hebrews in several lessons, because it is a very, very good book. It is a book that is greatly misunderstood. It also is a book that has a lot of good teaching in it and a lot of good things to show the Jew who had converted to Christianity that things were changing, that things were changing and now had changed with Christ dying upon the cross. The old law had been put asunder. It had done what it was designed to do, and that was to lead men to faith and lead men to Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. There are a couple New Testament letters that address the problem of mixing Judaism and Christianity and the danger of it, and understanding that one was no longer needful and one was no longer in practice, and that one should follow the law of Christ and not the law of Moses. The book of Galatians, the book of Colossians, and especially this book of Hebrews deals with that issue of understanding the difference between the two covenants and understanding that one covenant is ended and another has begun, and that the thing that the old covenant was designed to do and what it was purposed to do and what God created it to do had been accomplished. And when he died upon the cross, that law was set aside, and now we're under the law of Christ. We're under the new covenant, and that new covenant is contained in the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews, we're going to talk about the danger that it presented to the Jew who had converted to Christianity but was now being persecuted for his faith by the nation of Rome. And there was a tendency to think that maybe it would be a good idea to return to Judaism to escape the persecution. We'll delve into that next week when we begin to study the book of Hebrews. We encourage you to tune us in again next Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a good understanding of God's word. Not just that you would believe it, but most importantly that you might obey it and put it into practice in your life and become one of his children. Please come and worship God with us. We will always welcome you. Have a good day.